Here we go. So take your Bibles, please. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. To my church, we started on a journey several weeks ago, and we are teaching through the book or through the chapter of Psalm 119 on Wednesday night, and I'm excited about it, and I'm so very pleased. It's amazing how the Lord works. I did not change the Bible study, but it applies so well to our graduates tonight, and I decided not to deviate from the Bible study on purpose. And I think you'll see why in just a little while here. But let's start reading in verse number 41. We're going to read verses 41 through 48. You follow along. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before the kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Psalm 119, in just review for just a couple moments here, is a very interesting chapter. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. By the way, when I say that, it's the King James Bible. That's the only Bible there is. If you have something else, throw it away and we'll get you the right one. But it's an unusual chapter. If you look in most Bibles, you'll see a little squiggly line and three or two or four letters there. And each one of those is, there's 22 sections of eight verses. Like at the top tonight, you see a little line there, and it's the letters V-A-U. It's actually Vav in the Hebrew alphabet. Each one of these sections represents a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The Jews would use Psalm 119 to teach their children the alphabet, teach them how to read. They would memorize each section, and of course, ours is in English, theirs was in Hebrew, but they would teach them, much like if you were in school, you know what I'm talking about, the teacher had the little choo-choo train of letters on the board above the blackboard. That's before whiteboards and computer screens and everything else, you know, A for apple and B for ball and C for cranky and all the other ones. You had all those, and you recognized the sound of the letter by the picture that was there. And the Jews would use Psalm 119 to teach their children how to read. Now, something very interesting. All of that is centered, 174 of the 176 verses mentions the word of God directly. This entire chapter is about the Word of God, and they were teaching their children to read about the Word of God. And it's exciting. There are eight words used for the Word of God in Psalm 119. By the way, they cross all the way through the Bible. When you see these eight words, God is referring to the Word of God in these eight words. The word law, testimonies, ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, and word. Now, law are the rules by which we live. Testimonies are virtually sworn affidavits in court as to being true statements. Ways are the pathways or course of life. Precepts are principles. Statutes are written ordinances. Commandments, I love this one, are orders from a supreme leader. Amen. Judgment is the sentence after all of the evidence has been produced, and then the word. Now, those are the eight words used over and over and over and over and over and over, not just in Psalm 119, but throughout Scripture. And this whole chapter is about the Word of God. Now, we are on the fifth section, I believe, tonight, and verses 41 through 48. And I love this. Ladies, this is the most important thing that you'll ever hear in your entire life entering adulthood. That book is the most important thing you can ever have. Amen. That book shows you what the will of God is. Doing the will of God and obeying it through the Word of God is the most successful thing you'll ever do your whole life. And I mean this, every part of your life will hinge on it. Where you go to school, who your friends are, who someday that you might marry after you hit age 40, Melinda. I mean, everywhere you go, how you rear your children, the decisions you make, all those things hinge and the success of it on that book right there. If you'll follow that book, by the way, it doesn't mean it's all going to be easy. I get sick and tired of these pussyfooters that get up, oh, just trust Jesus, all your problems go away. They didn't follow the life of Christ. They killed him. Man, the will of God swings on the door of opposition, let me tell you. But when the opposition comes, you have something to lean on to show you how to make it through. It's going to be tough. Now, his will work together for good in your life. Now, listen to me very carefully here. This section that we read tonight is a section that has to do, verse 41 gives you the theme of the whole section. It says, let thy mercies come also unto me. It is about how to live with mercy and living a merciful life. Now, let me do something for you for just a second. Mercy is a misunderstood word in the Bible. Most people feel, well, I'm going to plead for mercy. That means you're hoping you get out of trouble. At least that's what I hoped when it was my dad, but he didn't know what the word mercy meant. He showed no mercy, amen? That's not true. Most people think mercy means, well, I'll confess to God so that he does not punish me. Mercy does not mean no punishment. Mercy means an attitude of love while applying correction. Did you know that if God did not punish, he would not be just, and if he was not just, he is not God? Amen. Letting someone go who has done wrong is not just. But mercy says, I can love you through the punishment, and we'll get through it together. That is mercy. Now, mercy is applying love to the punishment, but it is punishment. Parents, as your children are growing up, just because they have that cute look and say, but mommy, I'm just so sorry, doesn't mean you say, oh, it's okay this time. You just were unjust. And you are creating an appetite for them to do it again. You can say, I'm so sorry that you did it. And guess what? I love you too, but you're still going to get swatted. Amen. So go to your room. Say, oh, that's so cold-hearted. No, that's mercy. It's mercy. Graduates, all these years of work, mom and dad pushing you, those days when you didn't feel like doing it and they said, do it anyway, we don't care. When you got the grade you deserved, but it wasn't the grade you thought you deserved, and you had to go do it again, that was mercy. Someday you'll look back and say, man, am I glad that happened. Man, am I glad I survived it. Amen. And I understand that, but mercy is a way of life scripturally. Now, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall inherit mercy. So what the first recorded sermon by Jesus, he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive, they're going to be given mercy. Now, listen to me very carefully. I want to show you what God says in Psalm 119 and through the Word of God about giving mercy. Here's the thing I want you to get. When Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, we're good at the second part of that verse. Oh, give me mercy. Give me mercy. God didn't want you focusing on what you get. He wants you focusing on what you're going to give. He didn't say, blessed are you that get mercy. He said, blessed are those that show mercy, those who are merciful. In exchange, because of the law of sowing and reaping, eventually mercy will be shown to you. Let me say it this way. If you're saved, you have mercy that's been given to you because you're not going to burn in hell forever. That's mercy. That's what you deserve. But God already paid the price, and he applied it lovingly through Jesus Christ to your account. And, well, I didn't get mercy. Yes, you did. If you're not going to hell, you got mercy. Let me help you with this. All right. Now, look at verse number 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. People who live with mercy need to learn how to give mercy to people who reproach them. This is not a lesson I want to practice very often, but I have to. This is not a lesson anybody likes, but girls, welcome to reality. The word reproach, when I was a kid, I used to think it meant big bugs, you know, like re-roach. But it's kind of not quite that way. Reproach are people who expose negative. Those who try to defame or destroy one's reputation or character. Modern terminology, they're a gossip. People who try to destroy you. People who try to tear you down. People who will try to show negative about you. About once every 3 or 4 weeks, I'll throw a spell in here. I'll throw it again tonight. This is not a church where we're going to get up and tell everybody sin to everybody. That's stupid. Number one, somebody getting up here telling you what they did wrong, you can't do nothing about it anyway. It's between them and God. So all you want to do is know what everybody's sin is. Well, there's certain sins. Who made you God to judge what sins those are? There's nothing in the Bible about that, just so you know. A fellow recently sat down in my office. He said, now, preacher, what's your feelings about divorce? I said, I'm against it, but I'm not against divorce people. I said, just so you know, I said, there's only two things divorce people can't do. Can't be a pastor, and there can't be a deacon. Past that, I said, they can usher. They can go soul winning. They can teach Sunday school. They can run van routes, bus routes eventually. They can do just about everything else in Scripture. I said, I think once they get married, they ought to stay married to the one they're married to and go on. Amen? I said, they're not second-class citizens. I said, they've only hindered themselves from pastoring and from being a deacon. I said, that's the only things scripturally they can't do. He said, wow, you're pretty bold about that. I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, do you have divorced people? I said, I do. I said, it's none of your business who they are, because I'm not going to stand up and tell everybody who they are. I said, we want to play God too much. I said, who are we to judge? Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. Thought I lost you for a second. You're going to face people who attack you the rest of your life. I'm going to make a statement here. Don't reproach them by doing to them what they're doing to you. I've watched good preachers go wrong by attacking their attackers. Now, somebody gets up and preaches bad doctrine, I'm going to preach what the right doctrine is. I don't care if it hair-lips everybody. I have no problem with that. When you cross a line doctrinally, we're going to go to words. But past that, I've got preacher friends I don't agree with. I don't spend much time with them. Matter of fact, I don't spend any time with them. Say why? I don't want them rubbing off on me. I really don't. Give them the mercy you want them to give you. If somebody starts attacking you, why don't you give them the mercy you want them to give you? Well, that dirty rat, do you know what he said about me? No, because I didn't listen to it about you, nor will I listen to it about him. I don't listen to it about me. I really don't. Somebody this week said, preacher, did you know what was said? I said, stop. I don't want to know. But I said, mm-mm, I'm not listening to it. I said, can I fix it? Well, no, but I think if I can't fix it, don't let me know about it. Just let it be. It's okay. I said, these shoulders are tough enough. They can take it. It's like an airsoft. It might sting a little bit, but it's going to bounce off eventually. Amen. Let me tell you something. Give your enemy mercy. Do you know, I have people that have attacked me, people that have attacked this church. I give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, there's been good people that have become my enemy, and I don't think they're bad people. I think they got led to do evil. Some of them are just simple, didn't know they were being used for evil, and all of a sudden they woke up and found themselves in evil and don't know how to get out of it. I'm not angry. Doesn't mean I'm going to go over and eat lunch with them. But I'll give them the mercy. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Everybody doing all right? Say, how do I do that? You trust that book right there. You do with that book and what it says, no matter who's doing it and who's not doing it. I love Brother Coral. But if Brother Coral gets up this week and preaches that salvation's through works, I'm still going to go out and go short with him and preach salvation by grace. Now, don't worry. He's not going to do it. There's more chance of snowballs in Hades than there is of that. Trust me. And I know that. And I'll use the ridiculous to illustrate the obvious. But I love Brother Coral. He's my friend. But I know Brother Coral and I see eye to eye on the Word of God all the way. Trust me, I like getting around him because I find out I'm not the only one in the world as tough as he is. He just kind of gives that back to me. Now, may I say this? Brother Coral's been through tougher battles than I have, I'm sure. He's still fighting them. How do you get through it? Keep preaching the Word of God. Keep living the Word of God. Well, all these things are going bad. Preacher, I thought everything was going to get better. Uh-uh. I don't know about you, Brother Coral, but when everything's going smooth, I'm usually on my knees saying, okay, what's going wrong? What am I not doing right? Or I'm looking back so I don't get slapped in the back of the head. I want to see the hand hitting me, amen? Because somebody's about to whack me a good one. Usually when it's calm and smooth, I'm about to panic. Thank God the van broke down. Last week, Brother Stoltz, I was so glad to know the devil was mad enough at us to break the van down. Amen? And he tried to get us a second week, but it didn't work. We got him. Now, wait a minute. Show mercy to those who reproach you. God said, love your enemy. Say, how do I do that? You love them through the Word of God. You show them mercy. You show them the respect you wish they had shown you. And don't go around saying, well, look what I did to so-and-so. Okay, Pharisee, you have received your reward already. You spent your inheritance, as we said Sunday. Number two, I got to hurry here. Merciful living means that we look at truth even when it is not the way we want to see it. Look at verse 43. And take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Can I tell you a hard lesson I had to learn? I don't always see everything as truth. It looks like truth to me. I think I have seen the truth. But guess what? Did you know sometimes my enemy's right about some things? Man, Brother Hiles beat me up one day. I was on his staff. He said, son, let me teach you something. When you get criticized, there's a shred of truth to it. You better figure out what the truth is in it. At that moment, I didn't particularly like Dr. Jack Hiles, just so you know. I said, yes, sir. Did you know every time I've been criticized, there's a shred of truth in it? It may not be what they said it is, but there's a shred of truth in it. And I decided I can either get angry over the rest of it or I can fix that one little piece. A person that shows mercy says, I'll give my enemy the benefit of the doubt. You're right, I'm wrong. Do you know Brother Coral and I might not see eye to eye on everything? Number one, I'm not going to tell him. Number two, even if we did, guess what? We love each other. Now, we're right on the same doctrines. Period. We can look past in love for one another over the things that we, just those little minor things. He might not like the color of the walls or the color of the carpet, but not his church, it's my church, amen? He's here visiting. You have no vote in that, amen? Guess what? when I go to his place, I don't have any vote on any of that either. Say, what do? Show up and say, what you need? Let me help you. Just the way he does here. Say, what is that? We don't have to agree everything. Say, well, I wouldn't have painted my living room this way. It's not yours. It's God's. When we painted and decorated in here, ladies, remember me saying, I know you wouldn't have painted your house this way, but it's not your house. It's God's house. It's a church. It's not your house. You know, we don't have your lounge chairs in here and your footstools and your stands with your, put your glasses on and your coffee cup, just mine, amen? Now, I say that to say this, merciful living means you have to look at the truth. Living by mercy eliminates bitterness because you can't love and be bitter. Did you know you can't love your child when you're bitter with them? Children, did you know you can't love your mom and dad when you're bitter? Adults, did you know you can't love each other when you're bitter? So you have to show mercy to people to get the love necessary to help people through. Did you know I don't always like what people say about me? But guess what? It doesn't matter what they say about me. They're saying it about him, not me. He's the issue, not me. Let them say it. If they're picking on me, they're not bothering somebody else. It's good. You know, our opponent, did you know my enemies think they're right? When they attack you, they think they're right. They are honestly in their own heart seeing the truth as they think they see truth. Now listen to this very carefully. We live the truth and let God judge and mete out his ruling in judgment for us. Let me be political for just a moment. It's interesting. In every one of the nationwide cases that have come up with the police where they've shot someone and it's hit the news and they've rioted the streets in Baltimore and Missouri and Florida and Cleveland and everywhere else, two words would have solved the whole thing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me show you what I mean. My friend, Brother Walters, up in Maine, Brother Rick Walters. You know Brother Walters? His two oldest boys were playing with their airsoft guns by the church. And their house is kind of on the same property. They were running around shooting each other with their airsoft guns. Somebody called the police on them. Somebody called into the police department and said, there's people running around that church shooting guns at each other. Well, the police showed up with guns drawn on those two teenage boys. They were on the bus, had each other pinned down in a bus. And they're, pew, 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 pew. All of a sudden they hear this, all right, come out, hands up, this is the police. And they looked up and they see real guns pointed at them. Say, what did they do? They dropped their guns and went like this. They got let off the bus in handcuffs, amen? Brother Walters came out and said, what's going on? Now, wait a minute. Did you know they didn't try to run? You know they didn't try to shoot the police officers with the airsoft gun? Did you know after they obeyed, everybody got the truth sorted out and everything was okay? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? My daddy told me a long time ago, whatever the officer says, you just do it. And if you don't agree, you can tell the judge later. You let the judge decide whether it was right or wrong and go from there. It's better to be alive and go to court than be dead and not make it to court. I understood that. I wasn't real bright, but I was smart enough to understand that. Amen. Now, can I say this? If you'll just live the truth, watch this. You can let the judge mete out what is truth and not. When you focus on obeying the truth and not the attack and not defending yourself, you won't get bitter. Do you know when people attack me, what I do? I go out and go soul winning. I go out and find somebody and help them. I'm not going to worry about the attack. I'm going to go out and do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to hurt the devil a little bit more and go reach more people. So many people are there, and you're trying to defend yourself. And then you get hurt again, and you defend yourself. and you get hurt again. And you've lost the cause of going out doing the Word of God. You're so concerned about how people view you and your feelings that you're concentrating on the attack and not what you're supposed to do. I don't mean this the wrong way, but most attacks roll right off my back. They really do. Now, they're harder and harder every once in a while, but I let them roll. Living the truth, watch this, builds your case that you're living that you're right. Found out a long time ago, if you're living right, the judge is more apt to believe you. Yes. Well, guess what? If you're obeying the judge and somebody else is attacking you for obeying the judge, judge is going to say, it's okay. The last speeding ticket I got. My mom's back there laughing at me. I got it on June 24th, 1989, on my way to my wedding. Behind my car was my brother. Behind my brother's car was my mom and dad's car. Behind my mom and dad's car was another group of folks that were going to the wedding as well. I saw the speed limit sign change 10 miles an hour. Well, I was already at that speed before I got to the sign, and the police officer didn't like it. So he pulled me over. He pulled in front of my brother and my dad and the other car. My brother's got his video recorder out. Got pictures of this thing. I'm getting out of my car into the police officer's car. The police officer was not a nice fella. I said, "You're right. I'm wrong. Just give me the ticket." "Well, what's your address?" I said, "Which one?" I was in Ohio, but I was living in Indiana as a full-time student. He said, "Well, which one are you going to be living at?" And I said, "The one in Indiana." He said, "You know, I could take you to court and take you to jail and make you post bond." I said, "Sir, I'm a full-time student." I said, "May I just have my ticket?" He was a real idiot. "Well, you have to be in court on Tuesday." I said, "I'm going on my honeymoon." I said, "I'll be in Orlando, Florida. Come find me. Post date it for another week." "Well," I said, "you can put any date you want on that thing. Do me a favor." I said, "If you want to find me in contempt of court, just tell them now that I won't be there. I'll be in Florida. Come find me." I said, "Just put the date on there." So he was, you know, Barney Fife and a little bit more, amen? I got back from my honeymoon. I had to go to court. I walked in. Judge says, "How do you plead?" I said, "Guilty, sir." He said, "All right." I said, "But may I say something?" He said, "Sure." I told him the story. He said, "He gave you a ticket on your way to your wedding?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Why did you plead guilty?" I said, "Because I broke the law." He said, "Oh." He said, "I wish, son, you would never done that." I said, "I broke the law. It's okay." I said, "I just didn't like how I was treated." I said, "Just a little respect." I said, I'm not a criminal. He looked at the bailiff. He said, "Bailiff, Officer so-and-so is in my quarters in an hour or he's fired." And he looked at another one and said, "Call the mayor's office now." I found out a month later the guy lost his job. Now, wait a minute. He didn't show any mercy. There was no love. He wanted to prove power. Can I tell you something? Because I had lived right, my case was built the right way. And the judge looked right through it. When I was testifying in court here a couple weeks ago for the individual who stole our church van a year ago. Brother Coral, they stole the church van, used it in 11 different robberies, went on 3 police chases, 2 different counties in West Virginia, crossed the state line and crashed it in a tree in the state of Virginia and ran from state police officers. But he left his wallet and his driver's license in the van. Totaled our van. You know, thank God crooks are stupid, amen? He's been in jail for 9 months, and he's facing about 20 years in prison total from all the different things. The judge asked me a question. Well, his defending attorney says, now, Pastor, do you have surveillance cameras to prove that it was him? I said, I didn't then, but I do now. And the judge went, I mean, just, you could hear him laugh. I'm looking at the state trooper, and he's going, like this. I thought, I didn't try to be funny. I really didn't. I walked out, the state trooper grabbed a hold of me, great big fella, and he said, Reverend, I'm going to come visit your church. I like you. I said, as long as you're coming to help and not hurt, I'm for it. He said, man, he said, your case is strong. I said, he's the one that left his ID in there. I said, his stupid lawyer says, we don't have any proof he was in there. We just have proof his wallet was. Okay. I thought, this is really weak. No wonder the guy's wearing blue jeans, tennis shoes, and a suit coat. What a loser. Okay? Now, number three, merciful living finds freedom in living the rules. Merciful living finds freedom in living the rules. Look at verse 45. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. Listen to me very carefully here. Living by principle, living by the rules, keeps mercy going to all people, no matter what your emotion level is. Girls, there are times, emotions, you want to live by them. But usually those are not the times to do it. Well, you have no emotion, preacher. Oh, I have emotions. You don't know how bad I have emotions. I just have chosen not to let my emotion make the decision. I'll let principle make the decision. You see, principle and rules takes emotion out of decisions. If you look at Lady Justice, you'll see a scale in one hand, a sword in the other, and she is a blindfold. That blindfold is so that it applies to all people, doesn't matter who you are. Principle is the same way. Did you know that living by principle is the same now as it was 2,000 years ago in the time of Christ? A man that I worked for on the other coast in California one day said, Craig, I used to be as separate as you were, but one day you're going to come to the reality of life and realize you can't live that way the rest of your life. Well, that was 24 years ago, and I'm still living that way. I closed my Bible, threw it across his desk, and said, you changed, that book didn't change. I said, that's where you and I are separating right now, Doc. I said, I'm not changing what the book says because life dictates it. Everybody doing all right? You will give mercy only when it's not an emotional response. Did you know that you don't feel like mercy, men, when that baby starts screaming at 2 o'clock in the morning? You're looking for a sock to stick in that thing's mouth, amen? You've been up with that thing. You made sure that it was oiled and lubed and had everything done. It's dry. It's not dirty. It's got a bottle propped up on a blanket next to it, next to its mouth. All it's got to do is put it in there, and that thing's lying to you. You're thinking it's dead. It needs you to show some mercy. You'll take the emotion out of the decision. Mercy is not punishment. Mercy is applying love by principle. There are times I have to make a decision. And I'll say, we shouldn't do that. I got to giggling, Brother Coral. On my daughter's little board she's got out there is a picture of her when she was it was her third birthday. Am I right, third birthday? Third or fourth? I think it was she was either three or four, I can't remember which. And she's standing with Brother Heil, standing with his hands on her shoulders outside his office door. That was an illegal picture. Brother Hiles had a policy. He didn't let anybody take his picture at church. But my daughter looked at him and said, preacher, would you please? He said, Mrs. Bush, you got a camera? All right, hurry up. Don't show anybody. I made sure he was in heaven before anybody saw it, all right? He would not do it. It didn't matter who you were. I couldn't believe, I wasn't around or he wouldn't have done it. There's no way he'd have done it if I'd have been standing there. Say why? Because he'd have never give in to me. He couldn't tell her no. Now wait a minute. sometimes you have to take the emotion out of it. When you live by principle, you have the freedom not to have to make a decision because your decision's already made. When it says, I will walk at liberty, you know, I don't have to make a lot of decisions, though I make lots of decisions. I let my principles make those decisions. Somebody called the church recently. They said, are you one of those King James only Bible churches? And I could tell in the tone of the voice. If I'd have been a pussyfooter, I'd say, well, what do you think? I'm not a pussyfooter. I said, not only am I a King James only, I said, I believe it's inspired, preserved. It is the only word of God. It's not a version. It's the Bible. It's the original. And it's the same as God gave it in heaven before there ever was a man. Oh, okay. Click. I thought, well, that's one I don't have to see walk out of church. They didn't even make it to church. Amen. My decision was made about that a long time ago. I don't even have to think about it. I really don't. Everybody doing all right? You know, parents, that takes this statement out of your parenting. Now, one more time and you're going to be in trouble. Principle takes that out of that. There is no one more time. That takes, well, I'm just not sure I can forgive that person out of any equation. I have a principle, according to the Word of God, I can forgive anybody. I can forgive a rattlesnake for biting somebody. That doesn't mean I have to trust it. Forgiveness and trust are two different things. I can forgive anybody. I don't have to trust everybody. Merciful living lives the same rules and applies the same rules no matter who and what you are. By the way, that means you apply them to yourself. Some of you want people to do things for you, but you won't live the same rules you want done for you. Did you know, according to verse 46, God said it was for the kings? I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings. It will not be ashamed. The day's going to come where we're going to fight battle over the Sodomites. It's coming. Lock and load. Here it comes. Just so you know, I'm not changing. You might have to listen to me on tape from prison, but I'm going to stay doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to marry them. I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to go out and beat somebody up because of how they live. I don't believe in that either. I believe in letting the gospel beat them up, not me. Principles apply to everybody, doesn't matter who, whether you're the president or whether you're a pauper. People who live by mercy and merciful rules hide behind the rules. I told somebody today, I said, why don't you help this group of people by saying, if they'll live by the rules of the institution, when you have that meeting, and they have to follow the standards of that institution. They said, how did you say that? So I helped them word it. I was helping them apply the rules, even though they didn't necessarily apply to that group, but they were going to visit that institution. I said, you have the right to expect that. I said, you don't have to be the bad guy. Let the rules be the bad guy. I said, no, I don't mind being the bad guy. But I also believe in enforcing the rules. I don't have to make a decision that way. Boy, that's a good statement. When I had to spank my children. I only had to spank my daughter twice this week. No. When I used to have to spank my children, I'd look at them and I'd say, do you want daddy to disobey God by not spanking you? I'd say, I love you, but I believe in obeying God whether you do or not. Ooh, man, that hurt. I said, not even you can make me disobey God. I'm choosing to obey God. That's what I want you to do. I gotta hurry. Last thing, and I'm done. Merciful living is hard work and takes thought before action. Look at verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. Say, what is that? When you're lifting your hands up, it's in reference to work. You're gonna have to work the commandments of God. Folks, living the Christian life is work. It's not hard, but it's work. Boy, America needs a good dose of work. Did you know I have the same temper and the same flesh you have? I'm just not allowed to show it like you do. I try to think before I go to action. There are days I have to stop myself because I'm about to chew somebody up. And I'm going, don't do that. Oh, not too awfully long ago, I had a little 8-year-old demon who decided to spit in my face twice. My wife watched it happen the second time. Now, I wanted to pull his head off and spit down the hole. That's what I wanted to do. My flesh was saying, cream the snot out of that kid. Say, what did you do? I handed it to its parent and said, that child will end up in jail. Give me a moment. Say, what'd you do? I went to the bathroom. My wife was saying, honey, honey, I knew what that meant. You're about to come unscrewed. Don't do it here. I went to the bathroom. I was washing the spit out of my face. And I was saying, Holy Spirit, if you don't get a hold of me, I'm going to kill somebody. By the time I walked back out, had my face dried off, I was in control. I had to come in here and preach, and you didn't even know what happened. I had to be controlled by God because my flesh did not want controlled. Believe me, I'm glad my dad wasn't standing there because he'd have said, hit him! Matter of fact, I probably would have had to tear him off of the kid. I was glad it was my wife. Honey, you don't know how bad. No, my flesh did not want to be nice. I had to think before I acted. Principle dictated it. It's our job to think before we respond. Let me ask you a question. You're going to have to put the Word of God into your mind by meditation and by reading so that when the time comes, you have something for the Holy Spirit to draw back from. If you don't put it in, there's nothing there for Him to use. That's why the Bible says that I will meditate in thy statutes. Because you have to keep putting things in so when the time comes, God can use it to pull it back out. Now, give me 60 seconds and I'm done. Do not live your life expecting to be treated with mercy. Live your life to give mercy to everybody else. That means when you're driving and that creep on the other side of Stonebridge wants to go that shouldn't go, it's your turn and not theirs. Show some mercy. I'm putting it right down on the shelf where we live, amen? Say, how do you know? Shut up. Or you get stuck behind the little old person that does 25 miles an hour all the way from this road on Needy Road, goes over the railroad tracks and goes up Cemetery Road at 25 miles an hour and you're in a hurry? Say, what do? You show mercy. No, it's a double yellow line the whole way, Brother Ron, and I will obey the law. Now, wait a minute. But did you know that the more mercy you sow, the better chance of reaping mercy will come? God's law of sowing and reaping will hold true. Graduates, you just learned something that would help your whole life, I promise you. If you'll learn to live a merciful life, it's a fun way to live. When everybody is out of sorts, and you're cruising through life, they're ready to kill each other, and you're going, do you know how stupid you look? Do you ever watch people that are out of control? They're funny looking. They really are. I like watching two guys fight. You know, totally out of control. And you're thinking, if you knew how stupid you looked right now, you wouldn't do that. You know, people out of control. Did you ever watch the mamas in Walmart? They got the kid that's screaming that everybody in the store has heard, and they're tearing things off the shelves. And then you hear the mother, now you quiet down! And I'm thinking, no wonder the kid acts the way they do. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's usually the one that's wearing slippers and pajamas at Walmart. Or they got green, purple, and pink hair going every which way, and looks like they got in a fight with a weed eater and a pop rivet gun and lost both. And you're thinking, just give me the kid for a little while. He won't sit down for a week, but he'll come back okay, I promise you. Folks, live by giving mercy. It is a wonderful way to live. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. So many times we get away from the Word of God. We want to live by our emotion. Got to live by the Bible. Live by principle. Live by the statutes and the commandments of the Word of God.